This is Real Talk, where all walks of life come together for thoughtful, constructive conversation. No arguments, no debate, just transparency. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. Welcome to Real Talk. Good morning, everybody. I hope this May morning has found you after Cinco de Mayo, that you've gotten all the Hispanic food or anything else that you just love, and you're just celebrating, and I hope that all your chips be red or green or white. You know, we went to Out to Eat the other day, and they came over with the Cinco de Mayo celebration chips, and they brought them over and flopped them on the table, and I went, yes. And they all taste the same. That's what's beautiful. But this is Real Talk, and we're having a wonderful time gathering around a table discussing some things. And today, one of the many things we want to discuss is going to be the advantages and disadvantages of, get ready, you've never heard this before, social media. Oh, Lord, here it comes. But, hey, there's a lot of things that are great about it. There are things that need adjustment. And just as an awareness, we're just going to chat through it. With me this morning is, as always, the wonderful Catherine Madden. And today I've got what I'm very proud of is my son, Jacob, is going to hone in on this subject so that it doesn't feel like all the geriatrics, not speaking of you, Catherine, in the room are speaking about all the old things that all the old people don't like about this or that. But
on this subject, though, unfortunately, I may just end up agreeing with you guys on most of this stuff. So this won't be the debate maybe we envisioned.
Well, some of it we hope to have a lively discussion. Again, the point is here is with this program, Real Talk, it's not here to create arguments. It's here to get open discussion in the community. And again, we're looking forward to, we're sitting in a room at the Champion Sales Center, and it is going to be a live audience real soon, hopefully with a bunch of young people coming in here to discuss these topics. We have some high schools and are interested in bringing their classes in. And so we wanted this station to be, or this program to be, a voice of all people, not limiting it to just what's wrong, but let's talk about what's right, and let's get all avenues of conversation as to what we can do better. And this is an awareness program. But to start with, we're going to talk a little bit about, I want to read a little something here on the advantages of social media. And so one of the advantages is it offers a significant advantages, including instant global connectivity with friends and family, rapid access to news and information, and platforms for self-expression and community building. It facilitates digital literacy, yes, supports mental health through peer support networks, boosts business marketing, and enables social activism and educational opportunities. Now, all those big fancy words mean one thing. You get, if you can want it, you can find it on social media.
And plus, you can reach people.
Yeah, you
more
can
easily.
Reach people more easily. You know, my wife is from Idaho. She's from out west. And so with her situation and watching the kids growing up and for all the advantages of taking the pictures of and watching them grow up and to be able to show her family, which is vast. I think there's a whole city of Schroville out in Idaho. And to be able to show that capability and push those items and they can see and comment on the children without – you know, the daily stream of texting and all those other things. So social media is something that people can come in and they can grab it. There's a lot of advantages to it. But Catherine, if you had to pick your number one advantage that you would see, tell me what you think.
I think probably exactly what you just referred to. It has become virtually a photo book of the modern day. It's how grandma gets to see pictures of little Johnny as he's growing. Oh, there's a video of little Susie's first step. Oh my gosh, you got to be part of that moment. It doesn't have to wait till 6 months when you see her at Christmas and then you show her that video. She can see it almost instantaneously. So I think having that ability to be attached in deep into people's lives that you care about is a positive on many levels for families specifically, because you can really know people on another level and not feel like you have to wait when it's an afterthought.
You know, I love that. One of my favorite things to watch is I've strummed through, and everybody's strolling. You know, you've got those moments where you just sit and stroll, and you look through, and it's the gender revealing. I have seen the craziest things out there of how to reveal a baby. And, you know, I saw one the other day with this, they didn't know what it was, this mom and dad to be, and yet the family wanted to surprise them and pull a prank at the same time. So they had them out there, and this thing exploded into blue. And then they had this blue paint, like paintball paint, all over them. They were covered and showered with it, and they had it in their hair, and they had it all over the kids and all over the house. And then they walked up and said, April Fools, by the way, it's a girl. And so I thought it was great, and the reaction that you captured at that moment. It's like walking around with a constant video camera that we used to do when we were little and watch the kids. Now it's just everywhere, and I think that's a beautiful thing. There's some exposure there. We'll get into that a little bit later. But I got to tell you, too, you know, from the business world, you know, it's a great place. This is your new Yellow Pages. This is just where it's at. You don't have the thrumming of the books anymore, and everybody wants to find out about a media content. This is where we go. This is how you go. You know, you're going to look into social change and awareness. There's some things on there. There's some things on there you wish you could unsee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. You've seen some things happening there where you go, and I hate to pick on Walmart, but it's like having a visitation through Walmart some days. And I love Walmart. Don't get me wrong. I ran into Catherine in Walmart not that long ago. I did. And so it's a world out there that brings everything to literally you hold it in your hand and there's nothing missing. And I think there's some beautiful things to that, self-expression and all that. The TikTok videos maybe go a little too far left or right for me. So, you know, some of the advantages. Jacob, in your opinion, what are some of the advantages in your world?
I mean, everything we've been mentioning, I would say. But it's so funny. They're so coupled with the disadvantages. When you speak of, you know, having pictures of everybody and documenting your whole life on there, there's something kind of that sounds good about the past where, let's say you're a teenager and you're posting wild stuff on there or posting your opinions and they're a little left of center or right of center. And then you're trying to get a job 4 years later and then they're looking up your social media and going down into your past and finding all these weird things you said or pictures you posted. And suddenly it's like concreted in on the internet somewhere and it can't be taken down as easily. That's the kind of stuff that the good parts of it are the bad parts and they're kind of like coupled together, you know what I mean? And that's one of the things that I like about it, and I think it's good, but it's a nuanced thing. It topples over into bad very easily, all that same stuff.
Well, you know, I think it goes into a program here. We can shift real quickly out of that into the idea of it seems like what somebody seems to know about you just defines you, and that's not necessarily who you are.
Oh, sure. You know? I meet people all the time. I get a sense of who they are from their social media or their profile, whatever it is. They may be very political online, or they kind of created this persona for themselves, and you meet them, and they're like, not at all like that at all. And that can be good or bad. It's just very interesting to me that you can like sort of fabricate this persona online and the actual true personality of the person when you meet them face to face is absolutely 100% 180 different.
Do you think that's hiding behind that person though in some cases that people use social media to hide behind this perceived personality, this perceived person when that's not really who they actually are in reality?
Yeah, I think it's a... It's almost like you exist in two spaces. You exist on the internet and you exist in real life. And it's like two personas and you have two different lives almost in some ways for some people. I think some people are who they are on both, but yeah. There's some cases where you'll see somebody that's very different. And that's interesting that they feel like they have to project a certain way online and in person, they're completely different.
I think sometimes it's about the perception of what you want people to believe about you
versus
the reality. And we paint a picture online. And I have noticed in my experience, sometimes what seems to be the happiest story on Facebook or Instagram is not a happy story home life. And I think a lot of times people want to keep up with everybody else and have the best looking home and have the best looking family and have all the great things that's what they want everyone to say. Hey, I have it too. Look at me. My favorite videos are the ones that are just real and candid. When I look on social media, I saw one the other day and someone said, you see all these pictures of my beautiful kitchen. let me show you what the rest of my house looks like. And they do a picture, and their house is, there's laundry sitting here. There's the dog laying on the couch. There's kids playing with the toys. Like, it's crazy chaos, but it's beautiful because they shared, this is real life. It's not what you see every day on videos.
It's kind of like, and ladies, don't take offense to this, and some of you men too, it's like going home and all of a sudden the makeup comes off. And then, you know, all of a sudden you go, ooh, you know, and it's not a negative. You know, I've been blessed with a very beautiful wife that needs very little. And so with that, you get a vision. It's almost like a persona. It's everybody's individual little production. It's their own reality show that creates something that's either factual or is it imitation? Is it theater? And so, and I guess, you know, as older people, we garner that. As younger people, the influences of those things where they're doing this and they're doing that. And I've got family members I've seen that will post work that they're doing, and we're doing this, and we're, and it, you create this avenue of a false identification or a false preemption of what they're really doing in life, just like we're talking about. And I think it's like anything else. It can't be taken but too seriously. You know, you're talking about news and gaining news and its capabilities. Anymore, there's so much AI infatuated inputting into that where they're actually mimicking news characters or stars or
actors.
Yeah,
I see celebrity gossip all the time on my feed that's just made up. It's just a very fake thing. And it's usually to push a political gender one way or the other. It'll be like, this actor said this about this hot button subject. And it's just never happened. But then there'll be a bunch of comments on, yeah, I always knew this guy was rotten, or I always knew this guy was awesome. And it's just fascinating that, yeah, the AI is a whole other aspect of social media that's kind of incoming and getting worse. And although I do think people's literacy in terms of understanding and seeing AI is getting better as it gets more sort of scary, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And younger people are, my girlfriend, she's a teacher, and she says that every time even the students even sniff AI, they start calling it out immediately. And they're middle school students, you know what I mean? So
my kids can, and they're high school, yeah. Middle school. They,
yeah,
they absolutely,
you get a sense of it, and they seem to have a good aptitude for figuring that out.
There was an old commercial years ago that says, is it live or is it Memorex? And so that's one of those things where you can almost, through computer systems into this day, will create any type of scenario with any kind of background. Things have become so advanced technology-wise. And again, I guess it really boils down to it when you sit and think about it is theater. It is entertainment. That's what it is. And is it become, again, as we've talked in other programs, has it become where we get all of our vital statistics, our vital information, our vital applications? I mean, now, who turns on the TV and mirror to watch the weather channel? I do. I enjoy that, watch the videos. But if you really want to know the weather, it doesn't take you but a few minutes to go on an app, pop that thing up, and it's going to instantaneously give you what we believe to be, you know, what's going to happen. And so that we're garnering, I think the percentages I read the other day were like 93% of all information garnered is through social media now. And the accuracy of it becomes a thing where everyone's got to, they got to take their blinders off for a minute and look at it from the perspective of what's real, and to put it that way, what's Memorex. But as a mom, Catherine, and as a father, do you worry about the influences that you're seeing? Have you had to have conversations with your kids about, with your young people about, hey, be careful here what you expose? I mean, one of the things that used to get a whole lot of bad rap was Snapchat, simply because there ended up being a lot of things going on there, and there were instantaneous understandings where, let's snap a picture of it. Well, it's only going to be there for so many seconds or so much limited time, and then it's going away. Well, only to find out later that that wasn't necessarily true. It was never, ever going away. And anything like Facebook's and any of the other, the Instagrams, anything you post becomes impartial property of that particular app, giving them permission, if you will, to do anything they want with it without even any correspondence or with any type of suggestion on your part as to how it can be used. And so that's kind of a warning thing out there. It's not a scare tactic. It's just, it's part of the awareness. You know, when you when you go swimming across the pool, be aware that, you know, you're there are certain dangers that could happen in and around water with all types of situations. So you have to navigate this almost like swimming. You have to realize that it is shark-infested waters, and not everything out there is fun and entertainment and education. So it's the thing, when you build more into that concert and you look at that, it's all based on usage. It has to be used with a care and an understanding and a concern of, is it better or worse? That's something we'll always ask on this program.
Yeah.
Is it better or worse?
It's almost like the framework we're looking at here as we started off the program was, here's some advantages and here's some disadvantages of social media. But it's almost like something that transcends that. It's like just a fact of life, like doing anything. It's so pervasive. So it's basically a fact of life with downsides. And we could look at the downsides and give you advice on how to navigate them like you would anything. If you're sending someone to the corner store to get milk and it's 1 a.m., you would probably say, hey, keep an eye out for this and watch out for that, and don't walk across the road when there's traffic and use the sidewalk and all that. It's the same thing. It's like, it's just a part of life now. It's so pervasive that it's just a matter of like watching out for the pitfalls involved with it. But it's hard to completely just say, hey, it's got some downsides and some positives. It's like, no, it's just part of society and culture now, and you've got to just navigate it intelligently.
I agree 100%. I think that in the process of looking at that from that concept, Catherine, again, back to what I didn't get a chance to give you a chance to answer.
Sure.
Was have you had conversations like this with your family members?
So I think that's a very unique but interesting concept as far as the youth when it comes to social media, because I've seen the reels, I've seen the videos that come up on my feed, and I chuckle because it says it's usually a female, and she said there's this words that come up on the screen about millennials or Gen X. Are you laughing at the kids today on social media? There's no record of the mischief you used to get into at a bonfire back in the woods,
sure,
you know, when you were a teen. No record. And these kids are putting it all out there. And I kind of laugh in a sense of, I think about when I was their age, there was very little social media. And if we had social media, we couldn't upload it from our phone. We had to literally take a cord, attach it to our computer, and upload the photos to then put on social media. So it was a lot of work. So we had to really think into, A, do I want to do this much work? Is it worth it? But B, which pictures am I thinking of putting on there? There is a lot more thought into it versus now it's instantaneous.
Yeah, there's a series of gates to check you to make sure you're like, hey, I'm not sure I want to do this. And
absolutely.
And you can have some more discernment in that process. But now it's, you know, obviously you snap the photo and it's uploaded in half a second.
Well,
and then it's out there.
And even let's go to this length. You know, when you are a young adult and you're of legal age to have alcoholic beverages, you may make stupid decisions and take a silly picture and upload it while you're still not making a
sure
clear mind, versus somebody back 20 years ago, they had to be of sound mind by the time they got home and uploaded everything. So
yeah,
they're like, whoa, that's not a good
picture.
Yeah,
you hear people make jokes about like, I wish there was something on my phone that made me solve a puzzle. Like if you're in some inebriated state, let's say, and you're, you know, the joke being like, I pick up my phone at 2 a.m. and I want to text my ex.
Yes.
And it's like, I wish there was a little, you know, puzzle you had to solve on your phone that would stop you from
I love that. That's invention.
It's almost like a built-in filter system.
Yeah, yeah. Because like, in the morning, you're like,
you
oh,
can't
God,
do that.
Why
yeah
did I send that? And why did I say that? Or why did I post that picture? Or whatever it is.
Make it a breathalyzer into your phone, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
You can't
know
that.
And, not
this,
even, and
you
it doesn't
can't
have
post
to be under the influence, just like in an emotional state or emotionally heightened state, or it's late at night and you're feeling some type of way about something. So, yeah, but no, that's. It would be nice if there was a way we could almost gate that stuff more.
You know, that's, I think, Catherine, you've come up with a new invention.
Yeah.
That is the breathalyzer for the cell phone.
Sure.
Should we or shouldn't we? I don't know if you can, you know, maybe an IQ test to go along with it some days. So when we're thinking about that, and that's not attacking anyone, it's just a matter of put it in a position to where you see things later on, you know, what's the idea of remorse or regret? It is having to go back in wanting to redo something that if you'd have thought through it or had the opportunity, You probably wouldn't have done it that way or in that manner. And sometimes social media is an instantaneous, you don't get a whole lot of reverb on that. You don't get to back up and go another direction.
Especially if you're someone with any influence or following or your celebrity or something like that, then you're really, that stuff can be dangerous. They try to delete something they said that was out of the way, and then it's, everybody's got it now. Everybody's captured it. There's articles written about it immediately. You know what I mean? Maybe that can happen when you're just you and you don't have that many friends. But
well, you know, Jacob, you said something earlier that really kind of captured and is something that we want to kind of swing to here was employers.
Yeah.
You know, they're going back later and they're going to find out, okay, you've applied for this process or this job and you're applicant and we've got your resume. That tells you everything that you used to do. And then at the same time, too, that's a printed resume that generally you created.
Yeah.
But again, the social media aspects is for the social ability out here for anyone to go and see. And so with permission, a lot of times on applications, they'll say, do you mind if we go into your Instagram, your Facebook, and the different other medias and to see if it's for political gain, if it's for whatever purpose that's going to be anti what the company is standing
for. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could create prejudice both ways politically by they go on there and say, I don't really want this guy here. He supports X or Y or Z or vice versa. And that can be kind of a weird prejudice to create in the workplace.
Well, let me go this angle. You know, you said about employers and everything. Some people will respond with, well, I don't do social media at all, and that's why. So then my question then as an employer, do you then say this person has no social media presence? Is that alarming? What are you trying to hide? Does that not bring up the opposite end of everything? Because I think you have the flip side where you're positive and say, hey, I'm on social media. I'm putting it out there. That's who I am, and I'm not ashamed of it. So some
I think that was the thought I was about to have. I actually just recalled it. It also creates like a cooling effect a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you know everybody's going to be checking it and your employer might check it, any kind of interesting or somewhat spicy take you might have on something that in this variety of life makes us all more interesting and different. We kind of like homogenize a little bit in our opinions because you're afraid of stepping outside a little bit because you don't want some consequence from your employer or just society at large or whatever it is.
I think there's a limit to what you post. And a wise person once said to me one time, use the 24-hour rule on something you're going to text when you're heated or something that maybe may be questionable and you're not 100% if that's what you want out there. Wait 24 hours. If in 24 hours you still want to proceed, go for it. But if 24 hours you go, that was probably not a great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to that impulse buy thing.
Well, that's
like, I'm really excited about this new computer and I'm about to buy it right now. It's like, do I still want it 3 days later? And often you don't. But if you still do, then maybe it is a purchase that's worth. Yeah, it's similar. You almost need a cool down on some of those kind of decisions.
We know it used to take and get a pencil and a piece of paper and you jotted down your thoughts. You would sit there and write yourself a letter or write the letter to the prospective person, that whatever the issue may have been, positive or negative. And before you would ever send that or mail it or give it or hand it or whatever it may be, it's not like texting, which is a whole nother world. You have that plausible denial kind of thing. So you got to deny yourself in the thought process. And then you have a chance to put it in print and go, you know, I don't like none of that. And you would go back and correct most of that. Social media, in terms of that, and the alarming aspects of it is instantaneous. And sometimes that instantaneous gratification of it is wonderful if it's on a positive influence way. So I've seen too many people say things, do things, put things in a certain way that were inevitably harming. And there's nothing wrong with having multiplicity of opinions. That's a beautiful thing. And as young people coming up, or even as older, if you're using these kind of assets that are at your disposal with just a click of a button, sometimes just because you have the ability to doesn't necessarily mean you should. And that's a moral issue when it comes to those things and bringing it back down and getting us in a position to where to be social for what it's supposed to be is to be creative. Is it a positive affirmation or are we using it for a detraction? Mm-hmm. We can get it in a negative connotation or the positive. Are we here to reinforce one another? And, it comes to a spiritual application. It comes to a family application, a community application. And the things we talk about on this program are most most of those natures are, is to create something that brings us together to discuss these items without the volatility of it. Mm-hmm. And so with that, social media, there's too many times, and you've heard it said, that people will say or post or print something that if they were standing in front of you would never be said. They hide behind it. Texting, emails, those kind of things. And you're stuck with the wondering of what was the message behind the message? What was the body language? What was the insistence? With social media, I think it has the ability to put us in a position to be more creative, more aware, and more instantaneous gratification in terms of conversations. Facebooking and FaceTiming and all the things that are all the ads that are the new latest craves are all about instantaneous gratification. There is no 24-hour rule. There is no patience, if you will. We want to know exactly where we are. And so, again, get into a couple of disadvantages real quick is, you know, protocol. You know, we were talking last week, Catherine, and you mentioned when you went away, you know, had a wonderful time with your family and were able to get back. You didn't post anything until you returned. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how you feel about that in terms of making people aware. It's the old, I'm checking in here at this place, right, and I'm checking in here at that place. Well, that's a lot of information to give out without being, you know, you're not sitting around wanting to be paranoid, but you're giving out a lot of information of your comings and goings and wheres and fors.
I think we get so wrapped up in oversharing sometimes that we share information that shouldn't be shared, and we don't think it's information that should be shared. Things like, hey, I'm at the beach this week. So somebody who does not have good intentions may see that and say, yeah. And it may not be one of your friends. It may be a friend of a friend. And they're like, oh, they live in a really nice house. I've seen them post that beautiful house, that new Mercedes on Facebook. Let me go check it out while they're gone. Maybe, you know, I get a five-finger discount on that bad boy. There's a lot of malicious people out there, and we have to be safe about our decisions, but not just about our home, about our kids. Are you posting on social media that first day of school? My kid's teacher is Mrs. Smith. She's in the first grade at York Elementary School, and her favorite color is purple. You tell everything about your child on that little chalkboard. Do you know what my picture says? First day of school.
That's kind of what ours was. And
nobody needs to know what school my child's at, what my child's teacher is, any of that stuff. So there's no emergency call to the school or anything of that. Animals, your dog's name. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Post about your cute little dog and his name's Spot. Well, Spot's so cute. And you talk about Spot 24/7. And then when someone with bad intentions comes on your property, they call out Spot's name. Hey, Spot, good boy. He's no longer a bad guy, and he's not going to have to defend the house.
Well, you know, I spoke to a law officer here recently, and he said the number one casing aspects that we have here are things that people post on social media. People aren't sitting outside your house watching you anymore. Mm-hmm. They're just following you on social media.
They're using words that are your security words for your email, your bank account, all those things. They're telling people that their grandmother's name is XYZ, that their dog's name, their firstborn's birthday and name, all those things that people use.
I think we need to go back to cursive and printing and letters with stamps. Yes. How's that?
I like it.
Mail a picture every once and again. But any final comments, Jacob?
I don't have any. I don't want to get into any other subject. I feel like we just scratched the surface of this, and there's so much more that we can get into. But I guess that can always happen on a future episode.
Yes. Yeah. Catherine?
I would just say use social media to bring people together, not divide people, which I think people too often more use the latter of the two. So
I think one of the greatest things that we can always do is affirm one another, and to use a product or any device or an app or a platform, whatever you want to call it, to tear down. Here at Real Talk, that is, we want to bring you together to discuss things in a positive way. And so those are the things that as you join in and listen to the show, share it with others, share it with people that you know, people you love, people you don't like. We want to thank you again for being with us today on this program. Can't thank you enough for tuning in, and we don't take it for granted. I'm John Warden. This is Real Talk. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church. If you're interested in sponsorship or you have a story you want to share or want to be a part of this program, contact us at reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.